Good morning, everyone. Welcome, visitors. Lovely to have you all with us. Morning to those up in the balcony and online as well. So it's great we've got so many aspects of being together this morning. Well, we are continuing on our new series looking at the questions that Jesus asked. Last week, Richard raised the question, "What do you want?" He said, and I quote, "Tell me what you want, what you really, really want." And he went even deeper to say that some people, they want a zing-a-zing-ah. I don't know what it was, but it was zinging. If you weren't here last week, just to pull you in, Richard did quote and sing the Spice Girls. So to recover from that experience, and it is a big recovery, let me start by playing you a song. A much smoother, chilled, biblical song. A song you won't mind going through your head this week. A song that will heal and restore your faith in music. So let's play. Come on. Don't worry about a thing. Everything is going to be all right. We could go on and on. Here ends the lesson for today. Amen. Now, I know some of you were hoping I was being true and real then, and I was going to stop and sit down. But while Bob gives us the punchline, I want us to unpack this message today, as despite its simplicity, the command, "Do not worry," is actually very hard to apply in our lives. So the question Jesus asks that we'll be looking at today is, why do we worry? It's there in verse 28, "Why do you worry?" And you may think, what's the big deal? Why is worrying so bad for us? Surely a bit of worry doesn't harm anyone. Surely it just focuses our attention on what or who we care about. But Jesus, who is in the middle of his great Sermon on the Mount, at this point, teaching people about how to live life in the light of the kingdom of God, he spoke about 20 lifestyle lessons, but one of them was significantly longer than any of the others. I've got this little graph here of the 20 items that Jesus spoke about, and they range down from the narrow gate that would lead to life. And Jesus spoke just 44 words about that topic. A few rows on, you'll see loving others, which was 114 words. And then murder and anger, surely there's a lot to talk about that, 188 words. Prayer, something fundamental in our Christian faith, a mere 215 words. Do not worry, 238 words. Jesus' teaching on worry is over double the length of most other lifestyle habits that Jesus was teaching about. So why, while we think that this is not an important part of biblical teaching, that worrying is part of our everyday lives and it doesn't do much harm, we can't deny that Jesus thought that this was an incredibly important lesson for us to learn, understand, and apply in our lives. Do not worry. So let's start by looking at what worry is. The Oxford Dictionary definition says that worry is to keep thinking about unpleasant things that might or might not happen, or about problems that you do have. It is to feel anxious or troubled about actual or potential problems. So one of the main aspects of worry is the fear of the unknown. And the second definition brings in the disease of anxiety that is born out of worry. But how bad is it really? And why is it so important to Jesus? Well, some of you will know that by now that I love a few statistics. So let me share some about the excessive worrying and anxiety which were published by Mental Health UK. 8 million people in the UK are experiencing an anxiety disorder at any one time. 1 in 5 adults are anxious most or all of the time. More than a quarter, 26% of those with feelings of anxiety felt anxious to the extent that it stopped them from doing what they needed to do. 1 in 3 people experienced an anxiety disorder or panic attack at some point in their lives. And then possibly most concerning of all is that almost half, 45% of those who have feelings of anxiety keep it a secret. Are you starting to see the size of the problem here? Are you starting to see why this is important to Jesus? Are you starting to see why we must learn how to not worry? So worrying is definitely an issue in our world that we must address. To take this further, let's consider some of the things that we do worry about. So shout them out. What are some of the things we worry about today?
Money.
Money. Health. Children. Boom. Yes. Any others? There's what I didn't hear. Who else?
Money.
What was that one?
Work.
Diet. Health. You've got them all. If we go onto the slide, we worry about children and grandchildren. In fact, it's been a big week for children and parents as the new school started this week. For us parents, me included, it's been a week of worry, hoping our children have a good day and settle back into school well. But it's especially significant and difficult and challenging for the new Year 7s, who are going through the biggest transition they will ever face in their life. Many have felt overwhelmed when they go up to secondary school by the size of the school, the number of students, the changing teachers, the movements throughout the day, and the amount of stuff they have to remember, all causing significant anxiety for them. It's a big part of the reason why we are starting a new youth group tonight for our young people in school years 7 to 9. So they have a place where they can belong, connect into, develop strong, healthy relationships and be encouraged during these critical years of change. At the other end of the spectrum, we worry about aging grandparents. How will we care for them? What support do they need? Do we need to move closer to them? We worry about work. Can I meet these standards that are expected of me? Is my job secure? And we worry about money, like it's been said. In fact, the most commonly reported cause of anxiety is the possibility of not being able to pay the bills. There's a newspaper called the Church Times. Do you know that? They're fascinating read at times. But it says there, this week, they reported that 1 in 4 adults can't afford an unexpected bill of £200. We worry about health. That came up as well. Not only in fear that we will get ill, but the stress of excessive worrying can in itself contribute to serious health issues. We worry about exam results. We worry about who will run the country. We worry about, even worry about the weather. What's the point? Now, these aren't bad things. They're not bad things in themselves, but when we worry about them, it fuels our anxiety, leading us to fear and to react against the very things and the people that we care about most. So we know that worrying is bad for us. We know Jesus told us not to worry. We know how it destroys our life. And yet, we still worry. It creeps up on us. It's subtle. And then we suddenly find that life is overwhelming. But we are not alone. Jesus' disciples worried. They worried a lot. In today's passage, the disciples were exhausted and just wanted some time alone with Jesus. Is that too much to ask? But he chose to serve those in need first with teaching on how to live life. Tired, hungry, worn out, their clothes stained, ripped apart from their missional journey. When, they would have asked, when will you meet our needs? And we see them worrying all through the Gospels. They worried about the 5,000 people who needed to be fed. They worried about Jesus not getting to Lazarus in time. They worried about the children taking up Jesus' precious time. They worried about whether they could live this nomadic life. They worried about how they will tell the world about Jesus. But in each of these situations, their worry turned to joy when they obeyed Jesus, followed him, and trusted him. Now, before we consider our response to worry, I think it will help to understand where worry comes from. And to answer that, I want to take you back a few years, just a few, to when I was 14. I was 14 and I went to Israel with my parents and my older sister. As a quick aside, if you haven't been to Israel, I encourage you to speak to Julietta Grover about the St. Mark's Israel trip that's coming up in November. It will be an amazing time. I've been there twice and it's simply incredible to enter the buildings Jesus entered, to walk the roads that Jesus walked on. Anyway, back to Israel. I remember my dad telling me that we're not going to tell my granddad, his dad, about our trip to Israel, as there was conflict out there and he would worry about us too much and would try to stop us from going. So the four of us went to Israel. We had a few encounters with the local hooligans, as my dad would call them. One where a rock was thrown at our van as we passed a group of men. There was something about having the wrong number plate for that part of town. Then we returned home, safe and sound, and confessed to my granddad where we had been. You see, my granddad was a world-class worrier. And because he didn't have a relationship with Jesus at that point, he had nowhere to take his worry. He was a strict man who said no a lot more than yes. So he wasn't that much fun to be around. But at my granddad's funeral, my dad said something that in the eulogy that completely changed my view of my granddad. He said, "Dad worried much because he loved much. And he cared deeply for those he loved." So while our experience with him was all about fear and control, it was actually rooted in love. But rather than his love leading to joy and thankfulness, it led him to worry, anxiety, and fear. What does that tell us? It tells us that worry originates from love. It recognizes what or who we care about. But it's love that has gone wrong. Love that has been corrupted. It's still there, but it's buried by paranoia. So we start making decisions based on fear instead of faith. So the final question we must ask is, how do we respond to worry? First of all, we need to remember that worry is a verb, an active thing, which means it's a choice. It's a choice we can take. We can choose how to respond to worry. However difficult the situation is, we can still choose peace and trust in God. My dad had a very different response to worry than my granddad did. He had a close relationship with Jesus and he took his worries to him. His relationship with Jesus meant that he lived a life not of fear, but of adventure, with a habit of being risk aware, not risk adverse. Now that probably is why I fell down two cliffs when I was younger. But I survived. And I loved every adventure we went on. I think Mum and Dad managed worry well because they almost lost my eldest sister when she was born 6 weeks premature. And in hospital, they handed her over to God. I think something happened in that moment of surrendering entirely to God's plan, whatever that might have been. But that impacted how they loved all four of us kids, because they chose to let go and trust God. So we have three options when we are facing worry: fear, control, and trust. Fear leads to paralysis, where we do nothing. We bury it and avoid it, but in the end it catches up with us and leads us to overreact. Control is where we try to resolve it in our own strength, but there's always a limit to what we can control. Trust. Trust in God. This is the only way through. Fear and control will ultimately destroy all that is in place. The only response that works is trust. So how do we do that? Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast all your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you." And in verse 32 of today's passage, Jesus encourages us to trust our Heavenly Father to provide for us, as he knows our every need. For example, God knew when Israel needed food in the desert, and he provided manna for over 600,000 people every day for 40 years. But it was only enough for one day at a time. No more. Until they came to gather food on Fridays, the day before their Sabbath, when God provided a double portion for everyone so they could rest on their Sabbath. This proved to the Israelites that it wasn't a freak coincidence, but that God alone was their provider, and he provided everything they needed. God not only knows what we need, he also knows when we need it. That's why he taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread," not "give us tomorrow's bread now." So we need to stop worrying and start living. The founder of the Alpha Course, Nicky Gumbel, said, "Think ahead, plan ahead, but don't worry ahead." He goes on to say, "Faith is the antidote for worry." Jane Williams, who is the wife of a previous Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, but Jane likens Jesus' teaching here to Matthew 9, where Jesus says that the crowd are like sheep without their shepherd. She says, "Sheep don't worry about what will happen when they have eaten all the grass in the field or when winter comes. That's the job of the shepherd. The job of the shepherd, of God our Father, is to provide for our needs, like he provides for the birds of the air. But even more so, because we are not birds, we are sons and daughters of God, made in his own image." And let's be clear, there are no benefits to worrying. Verse 27 says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Which is obviously a rhetorical question. There's looking for the answer, no. But while there are no positives in worrying, there are plenty of negatives. A prisoner of war, Corrie ten Boom, said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrow, but it empties today of strength." So worry takes away our ability to enjoy the present moment. It disables us and makes us lose our gratitude for life. Even if what you're worrying about does become a reality, God's response is to come even closer to you. Deuteronomy 31 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you." So God is always with us. And Jane Williams again, she says, "We hope and pray that we will never be called upon to suffer as Jesus did on the cross. But we must remember that he also suffered from hunger, from weariness, stress, and all the more common symptoms of embodied living." So Jesus is always with us, And Jesus can relate and respond to our struggles as he's been through them himself. Because of this, Jesus knows best. And because he loves us so much, he commands us not to worry. Because worry corrupts love. And worry destroys lives. Elizabeth Rundle, who wrote the book on this teaching that we're doing, this teaching series, the 20 questions Jesus asked, she shared 6 ways to counteract worry, which I'm going to quickly run through before we come into land. First of all, sort out your priorities. What is really important to you? It's all too easy to lose such perspective in the bustle of everyday life. Secondly, look at God's creation. See yourself as God's beloved creature who is part of his great design. Think about how much God loves you. Third, remember that worrying does not alter our situation. It has no effect on external events, but it does have disastrous effect upon our inner reserves of patience, strength, and ability to cope. Fourth, believe that all of life is in our Heavenly Father's hands. It is said that faith is putting your hand out in the darkness and feel it held. Fifth, put first things first. Verse 33 says, seek first his kingdom. So instead of worrying in our own strength, we need to concentrate on living by the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Sixth, take one day at a time. After all, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. And I'll add a seventh point just to bring completion's sake. Read the promises God has made to us in Scripture. Read through Psalm 136, his love endures forever. Or listen to worship songs that speak about the promises of God. Listen to them over and over again until lies are silenced by truth. Until fear is conquered by peace. Until faith rises and worries fall. To close, sometimes life isn't as easy as we expected or hoped. But I don't want to belittle what some of you are going through. The message is simple, but it's extremely hard to apply. We certainly want to pray for you this morning, for God to bring his peace and patience and provision into your life. We may also need some professional help to journey through and out of fear and anxiety. We can help you connect with the right place. But as much as you can, make a decision today not to worry about tomorrow. Shall we pray? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father God, we are broken vessels, riddled with worry and anxiety. But we've been reminded today that we have been made in your image, and we are loved by you, the creator of the world. Thank you for Jesus' teaching on how we can live our lives well. Thank you that you love us so much that you don't want us to tarnish our lives with worry. So God, we bring to you all the cares and concerns that weigh us down. What might those be? Just in a moment of silence, bring your cares and concerns to God. Let him lift them off you. Fill us, we pray, with your peace, the peace that no one else can give. Come, Holy Spirit, heal us and do your work in us today. Come, Holy Spirit. So I invite the band back up. Just continue to think as we move into worship. What do you need to give your concerns and your cares to God? People are around here. If you would like prayer, please come forward to the front so we can pray for you. There'll also be some people at the back. We know this is something that is impacting so many lives. And we don't want you to leave this church carrying unnecessary worry and stress.